one of the reasons why maybe is because I've been looking over recent messages. I keep them in a file, as I've said, and I put them away. And I just noticed this, that lots and lots of paragraphs have started with something like this. I know I've probably told you this before, but, you know, when I was teaching back in the old days, if I stuck around long enough in any particular school, I might have some students for 6 years in a row, from 7th grade through 12th grade. And those poor kids no doubt heard every story and every possible illustration that I could possibly have used. And I'll never forget starting to tell a class something one time, and one girl who was obviously bored said, "You've already told us this." And first off, thank you for no one ever saying, "You've told us this before." But I kind of justify it because there's a good possibility that there's somebody here who hasn't heard. And there's an even better chance that those of you who have heard it have forgotten it. So anyway, it's just kind of the danger of being in the same place for the same congregation for 5 years is that you're probably going to do some recycling. That being said, I got two entirely new stories for you today, all right? Never told these to you before. Ramona and I went to a Royals game this past week. We lost to some team from somewhere. We won the next two games pretty handily. But anyway, Ramona had been given free tickets to the nosebleed section. And if you're familiar with the stadium, you know, it was like 487 or something like that. It was just as high up as you could get. And so when we got there, we upgraded them to some really good seats, third row, right behind Moose and between Moose and Gordon, if you know anything about that kind of stuff. So anyway, we got there early. And we took our seats, and shortly after we took our seats, two men took their seats directly behind us. And for most of the game, I never saw them, I didn't turn around to see who they were or anything, but we heard them throughout the game. And every time that one of the Royals came up to bat, in the eyes of these two men, they were worthless, they ought to be traded, sold, let go, shot, something like that. They just had negative things, every one of them, without exception, to say about every single Royals player. And they were Royals fans. And I just kept thinking how miserable these two old men must have been to be so continually negative. Old men. Later, one of them mentioned that he would be 65 on Friday, which comes dangerously close to me. And I know that we got one little girl here who says that Bruce has to be at least 100. So for 7 innings, these men criticized anyone and everything around them, and then they started on politics. And I was ready to go to the nosebleed section just to get away from that. Well, it happened that I also, on that same day, had a funeral for someone that I didn't really know. And the family had told me so much about how much fun this person was and how they were constantly doing things to make other people laugh, to bring other people joy. And I used that story, and I used Proverbs 17:22, which says, "A merry heart does good like a medicine." And it goes on to say that a crushed spirit is like, you know, it's a terrible thing. But I used that same verse at Dad's service because he was a jokester. He only had a few jokes, but he was a jokester. And I just thought about the contrast. Two men who went to a game of a team that they evidently supported, but finding fault with everything. And then compare that to somebody whose health has not been good, who life had not always been kind to, but who found humor and tried to spread happiness. And of course, I've been reflecting on that, which kind of led to this message. And I wondered, you don't have to answer this, please, but how would you describe me? An old man, grouchy, negative, or someone whose mission in life is to bring joy to others? And I want to say, I believe I fit both of those categories and meet somewhere in the middle. You know, I try to be helpful and happy and all that kind of stuff, but anyway, it's difficult. Now, there are some people who would rather associate with negativity because they want to wallow in their own negativity. So just be honest with me, and again, you don't have to answer this, but would you rather be with a merry-hearted person or with a gloom-and-doom person? And all of that sets the stage for today's passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And I would ask if you are able to please stand as we read from God's word, verses 16 through 18 of chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The passage I just read to you is a passage that I reflect on every birthday. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. And what I find is that the outward man is perishing just a little bit more every day. You know, there's all kinds of things. But today, however, I want to focus more on the idea about making the choice, and it is a choice, to not lose heart. We truly have a choice every single day to keep on the sunny side, or as the song says, if you're familiar with it, on the dark and gloomy side. There's a choice there. Of course, the first verse that I read to you starts with the word therefore, and you know always what that's going to mean. We need to explore a little bit about what came before. And just immediately prior to this passage, Paul wrote that the same God who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us up with Jesus. Now, that's a good thing to think about. Because I've dealt a lot with death and dying since I've been in the ministry, these words mean a lot and are used a lot. Death for a believer is not the end. Life goes on eternally for believers, and life is incredibly better in heaven than we could ever imagine. Therefore, do not lose heart. Even on the darkest and the gloomiest days of our lives, we still know, we can still know in our hearts that a better day is coming in heaven. Don't lose this either. Even though the outward man is perishing and aging and failing with every passing day, the inward man is being renewed day by day. I've heard people talk about this all my life. And I know for young people, it's hard to hear old people say things like this. But even though, you know, some of us are advanced in years, people will still say that they feel like they ought to be in their 20s. Or I feel like I ought to be still in high school or whatever. And all of us old geezers know that it just seems like yesterday. And that whatever you're talking about, and that's true for most of us. One of my good pastor friends said one time that the reason for this is that our soul is eternal. So even if we're 99 years old and look every day of it, our soul is brand new. It's just beginning. It's time and eternity. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man, brand new every single day. So therefore, do not lose heart. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, one of the hardest things that I get called on to do from time to time is to comfort a family whose loved one is either enduring great suffering or has passed away after great suffering. And the question always seems to come up, why does God allow that? And I don't pretend to have an answer, but I've often said this. Your loved one did not deserve to suffer like that. Jesus suffered greatly too, and he didn't deserve it. And I don't know if that brings any comfort or consolation to anybody, but I, you know, just hearing that Jesus suffered a long time ago doesn't make your own loved one's suffering diminish. No one wants to ever tell their story and then hear a story like this. Well, if you think that's bad, you ought to hear this. And that's not what I'm trying to do with this when I tell them about Jesus. But one of the things that I really believe does bring comfort to a family who's gone through this is that suffering here on this earth, it's bad as it is, the good thing is that it comes to an end. It's temporary. We may not like Paul's choice of words here, and I emphasized it both times I read it. for our light affliction. In other words, what you're going through is light. And it's hard to tell anybody that when they're going through the midst of a terrible, terrible affliction. And we might think, Paul, you think my affliction is light? Well, we have a hard time looking at life with eternity in mind. Even for somebody who's born with a painful affliction, who lives a long life with this affliction, it's light in the context of eternity. And I know it's hard to imagine eternity. It's hard to imagine when you think about how these long, hot summer days just seem like they're never going to be over. Of course, I think the long, cold winter days are never going to be over and that kind of stuff. But eternity is forever. And these things are just temporary. I want to hasten to add this because for the unbeliever, and that's where it really gets tough as a pastor trying to do a funeral for somebody who's gone through suffering, but they were an unbeliever. And you can't say, well, at least now their suffering is over. They say that. They always say, well, they're in a better place or something like that. But I think in reality, their suffering might have been an attempt from the Lord to turn their eyes upon Jesus, to get them to recognize there's only one way out of this suffering, and that's to accept Jesus as my Savior. But truly, unless they repent, their suffering has just started. And boy, it's hard to preach a message at a funeral when that's the case. Of course, Paul may not have been talking about a long bout with cancer or MS or blindness or anything else that we might think of here. The light affliction of which he spoke may have been and probably actually was more along the lines of persecution, which believers at that time truly faced. And he might have been saying the light affliction of persecution that you face here is nothing compared to the glory of eternity. So the most important thing I think we can take from that verse is this. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, no matter what you're going through right now, it's temporary. It will come to an end. And the glory that awaits believers far outweighs any affliction that we might endure here on this earth. So keep on the sunny side. I go back to the two old men sitting behind us at the Royals game, neither of whom had a good word to say about absolutely anything. But at the same time, I had to think about this. Neither one of these two guys were called to speak encouraging words. You know, it'd be nice if they did. And it's always better to be encouraging. But that wasn't their mission in life. I don't know what their mission in life is. But they were talking about baseball and they were talking about politics. And neither one of those two things are ever intended for building up believers, I don't think. We, on the other hand, as believers, are called to bring edification, encouragement. We're called to bring the sunny side to one another. Ephesians 4:29 that Gary read to you earlier says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Don't worry about what the guys behind you are saying. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the believer, to the hearers. I think about edification. There was a band from down around Springfield that we used to ask to come up to camp every year. We had them for 4 or 5 years. The name of the band was Eddie Vacation, which was taken from edification. And that was their goal, their mission was to bring encouragement to believers. And we really enjoyed them. I just thought about that. But anyway, what we are called to do is to impart grace and mercy and kindness and encouragement to other believers. I had a student way back in the old days. In fact, she'd just retired from being a principal. I'll tell you, nothing makes you feel older than having your students retire. But she was one of those sunshine and bright kids, you know, so just always so smiley. And every day she'd come up to me and she'd say, Mr. Williams, smile. And I thought I was, you know. But she's one of the ones that used to tell me, you look like you're mad. And sometimes I know I've got that look on my face because I'm pondering something or whatever. And then I've had other people tell me that they appreciate my smile. So which I think about that. Which image do I project most often? What do we project to the people that we encounter every day. We're called to impart grace. Grace is defined as unmerited favor. They don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But we're called to impart grace to others. And I just want all of us to reflect on, do our words, our actions, our faces impart grace, or do they suck the grace out of a room? We can do that sometimes. And I know I do that sometimes. Our Vacation Bible School verse spoke about God having created all things, visible and invisible. None of us have ever seen heaven yet, but God created it. And it's something that remains unseen here on this earth. What did I just see? I can't remember the context of this, but, oh, it was my little buddy over here. He was at Hardee's and he got a barbecued rib sandwich or something like that. And his mom sent a picture that said, "Isaac's in heaven," because he thought it was so good. And I think we do that a lot of times. We think about, wow, this is heaven. This ain't nothing, folks. There's nothing here on this earth that comes even remotely close to what God's got prepared for us in heaven. Verse 18, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I want you to think about the things that are seen right now. 110 degree heat indexes, mosquitoes, laundry piled up, yards to mow, stoplights that see you coming. All of these things, and so much more that we see every single day, are temporary. Temporary. They're not going to last. It may seem like it lasts forever, but it doesn't. And it's easy to get bogged down in all the difficulty and all the negativity and all the stuff that we encounter every day. But as someone who has spent most of his life being a pessimist, and I used to proudly proclaim that, because people would say, "Well, you're just a pessimist." And I said, "Pessimists are never disappointed. You know, optimists are the ones that are always getting the rug pulled out from under them. But God's working on me. He's changing me. And I hope that I can be, you know, I used to be capable of finding that dark lining in any silver cloud. But God's working on me. And I pray that I can be someone who brings positivity instead of negativity. And I know I don't always. I know I don't. But Paul tells us here, and we're told elsewhere in God's word, to change our focus. Don't focus on the things that are seen. Focus on what you can't see and yet you know is promised to you. The glorious heaven where believers will be able to spend eternity, the presence of Jesus Christ, our Savior, right there with us. And I believe also heaven holds for us this, reunions with those who've gone before who were also believers. I don't know if you're even familiar with another song title, "Keep on the Sunny Side." It's an old country song that was made popular by the Carter family back in the 1920s. And I was really only familiar with the chorus, "Keep on the Sunny Side, Always on the Sunny Side." But in the research for this message, I looked up the lyrics, and I want to read to you the words of the last verse of this song. "Let us greet with a song of hope each day, though the moments be cloudy or fair. Let us trust in our Savior always to keep us everyone in his care. God is always good." And I love that. I thought about the title, and I had no idea that there was a religious reference in it until I looked that up. And so I want to encourage you, and I want you to encourage me, to wake up on the right side of the bed in the morning, to start each day with a song of hope. And remember this in all cases, trust in our Savior who has us always in his care, just like the song says. If you're a believer, quite honestly, it really should be easy to do that every day, because no matter what difficulties the day holds, they're temporary. If you're not a believer, I understand why you're gloomy. I understand why it's easy to be negative, but I also want you to know, if you're an unbeliever, There's an easy solution. Jesus has already done the work. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Keep on the sunny side. Don't look at the things which are seen, but think about the things that are not seen that God's got in store for us. And I pray that you would do this. If you've never done it, give your life to Jesus. I can't promise that that's going to end your troubles, but it certainly will make us realize that the troubles are temporary. We're going to have a baptism in the second service, and quite honestly, I think we've got baptisms lined up almost every Sunday for about a month or so, which is incredibly awesome. You know, those are things that are seen that are positive. But one of the things that you miss out on because you're here in the first service is getting to see that one. And I just want to share with you, most of you, if you've been around at all, you know Lee, little Lee Miles. He's the one that always has to hold the microphone for Bill because it keeps him occupied. And I don't know if I've ever had a kid come to me like this, because when he came to me at Bible school, he said, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior, and I want to live in heaven with him. And most little kids, when they come to me, they say, I want to be baptized, you know. But he started with that, and I pray that he's able to do that as we do the baptism in the second service. But I wanted to share that with you, because if a little child has faith that there's something better coming, shouldn't we have that same faith? And I just pray, if you've never done that, maybe that might be the inspiration for you. Even a little child can have that kind of faith, especially a little child in many ways. We're going to have a time of invitation, and it's a time for you to make decisions, to accept Christ as your Savior, to move membership to the church, to just ask for prayer, whatever it is, whatever your need. This is the time as we have our invitation hymn. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you so much for this day. I pray, Lord, that you help me to be an encourager, to be on the sunny side, to be, Lord, just edifying. I know, Lord, that there are many, many times that I can find negative things in all that's around me. And I pray, God, that you continue to work on me in that way to keep me from doing those things. I just pray, Lord, for this group that's here this morning, for each one of us. Help us to be edifying, encouraging, building people up. I pray, Lord, that people would walk away from us saying they've got something that makes them different, and that they might be interested in finding out what that is. And that is you, Lord, that gives us the encouragement and the hope. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us, and I pray this in your name. Amen.